Morning, church. I'm in big trouble today. I left my PowerPoint presentation at home. I had it already in the car and I took it out so I could go look at it again before I left, and I left it at home. Isn't that something? And not only that, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't read my Bible up here in this poor light. I'm in big trouble, aren't I? And fortunately, Adam gave me a larger print Bible to read from. The title of the message this morning is, Blessed Be the Father. Does anybody know where that's coming from? Where's the Bible verse that's coming from? Come on! Ephesians chapter 1, what verse? Verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Right? Everybody, I want you all to have that memorized by next Sunday. Okay? Because that's such a good verse for you to know. Blessed be the Father. We're here because of Him. We're on this earth because of Him, and we're in this assembly because of Him. Blessed be the Father. Do you know your Father? I've told you a few times the sad stories about my past. But I grew up seeing my father, knowing who my father was as far as visibly, but I can't remember ever having a conversation with my physical father. My grandpa was my father, my uncle was my father, but my biological dad really wasn't my father. He lived in the same town as we did. He lived with my grandmother on the quarry side. I never had a conversation with him. I can't remember ever having one. And one night, several years ago in Columbus, Indiana, I got a phone call from my sister that said, our father was in the Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. He had had a stroke. He had come from California and was on a bus in downtown Indy and had a stroke. And I thought, wow, I can go meet my dad. And I went. But I couldn't talk with him. He had had a stroke and it was too bad. I didn't know that father. Really didn't know him. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't know the Heavenly Father. You are missing out on the purpose of your life. You're missing out on great blessings. Because blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians that we're referring to this verse in Ephesians 1 verse 3. He wrote this letter to Gentiles. I call Ephesians the letter to the Gentiles. In chapter 3 verse 1, he actually calls them Gentiles, showing that that's true about this letter. It's a letter that basically talks about God's scheme of redemption and how He has saved us and how that can transform our lives and how we need to stand strong in the gospel. This letter was written to Christians who were Gentiles at that time, and it's written to everybody in this audience who's not Jewish. Which is me, and it's probably you, right? It's a letter for you to read, to learn about God's grace and goodness towards us and blessings for us. You got to read it and see what it says. But in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about all these blessings, these spiritual blessings we find in Christ. And he talks about the fact that that God made it possible for us and Jesus Christ to stand holy and blameless before Him in love. It's not because I never make mistakes that I can stand blameless before God, the Father. It's not because I never sin that I can stand blameless before the Father. It's that in Jesus Christ, I am forgiven of my sins. And I can overcome my sinful self, which is my challenge daily as a Christian, and to be what the Father wants me to be. He planned before the foundation of the world. He predestined, as King James Version here says, that in Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to read it. Better turn over there. I'm still having trouble to see it. He predestined us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That is, God planned beforehand that He'd have a family, that we could be His children. He says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. There's the spiritual blessing. We have been set free from sin, redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, Paul says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. There's another spiritual blessing we have. We know God's mystery. It's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We understand what this world is all about. And then he says, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Another translation says, which it says that we are God's inheritance. We are God's possession. We are God's people. That's another spiritual blessing that we have. And he goes on in the text and he says that God has also sealed us with His Holy Spirit, or by His Holy Spirit. Another spiritual blessing that we have. But in this context, Paul is talking about these great spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ. Because of what He did at the cross, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we have these great spiritual blessings that draw us closer to the Father. And when you go on in Ephesians, you read more verses about the effect of the cross in our lives. In chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. What's the gift that God gave? Well, we all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the gift of that Son makes it possible by God's grace, through our faith and trust in Him, to stand righteous before God. In Ephesians chapter 2, he also talks about the death of Christ and how that the death of Christ made it possible for the wall to be broken down between Jew and Gentile. And that we all, both Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father, which is what Hebrews is all about, right? The book of Hebrews. In chapter 3, he talks about how that the death of Christ was something that God purposed in eternity for our benefit. In chapter 4, Paul goes on and talks about how that the death of Christ has a tremendous effect in our lives. And I'm going to try to read this. Verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, beloved children, one translation says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The death of Jesus, according to those verses, is meant to change our lives. Ephesians goes on and talks more about the death of Christ. He tells husbands to love their wives in chapter 5, even as Christ did what? Love the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians has a lot to say about the death of Christ, as we've seen. This is all possible because of the Father's plan. Those waiting on the Lord's table, please come forward. I want you to fill in the blank for me, would you? Our Father is, and I'll give you the first blank, just. He provided the sacrifice that the law demanded for our sins. He was just. He upheld justice. Fill in the blank. Our Father is just. You give me another word. Our Father is, say it loud. Our Father is loving. Our Father is gracious. Our Father is merciful. Our Father is kind. And all of that is shown at the cross. Just remember that as we partake of the Lord's Supper.